Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
He leads the way. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Colin.
I'm sad. But I'm also Laura Jolly.
LJ, it's an emotional day.
It is.
A day we probably hoped would never come, but we thought it might come, and it's come. Meg Lanning, after 13 years at the top of her game in international cricket, has announced her retirement from international cricket. So her last match for Australia was, you were there, South Africa, lifting T20 World Cup trophy. How do you feel?
Sad. I know, like, obviously Meg spoke at her press conference today, which was quite an emotional one, and she said that this has probably been about 18 months in the making. She took that break from cricket last year, hoping that that would fuel the fire or, you know, rejuvenate her for another few years. And she said it's kind of become obvious to her over the last few months while she's been out of the game again that that drive is just no longer there, and she's not... She feels like she's done all she has to do in the game. She's got nothing left to give and doesn't want to be half in, half out.
Yeah.
So respect that decision. It's a big call to make after so many years at the top and knowing how competitive she is. But I guess champions know when to walk away.
Yeah, they know. And I mean, I think the thing is, being Australian captain, it's so much more than just walking out onto the field and trying to make runs, which is what Meg is the best at doing. Like, that's what she does. She tries to make runs to get her team into a winning position. That's what she's done so well. But being captain, there's so much additional stuff. You know, there's meetings, there's media commitments. So there's so much that goes on off the field, and it's honestly unbelievable that Meg's managed to do it with such class for such a long time.
9 years, almost 10 years in charge of the Australian team.
Yeah,
in
unprecedented.
A period where the game is just gangbusters. It's remarkable.
Many reflections. LJ, you've been there. So many special moments over Meg's career. Have you got some favourite Meg Lanning moments that you'd like to reflect on?
Yeah, I do. I think everyone says this. The best innings I ever saw her play was that T20 100 at Chelmsford during the 2019 Ashes. It was 133 off 60-something balls, and she was just on a complete other level that night, the sort of mode that Glenn Maxwell was in a few days ago, that mode where whatever she wanted to do, she was going to do it. There was nothing England could do to stop her. And even she said there were probably only two innings in her whole career where she was in that kind of form, and that was just classic Meg. You could watch that over and over. But I think, and this is a slightly more niche example that
we love niche,
goes under the radar a bit because it wasn't actually televised during the T20 World Cup in India in 2016. It was a round match against South Africa.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big score. It was a 30 not out. But I think it just encapsulated Meg as a person and her competitive spirit. So basically Meg got a case of stomach illness, Dele Alli. Yeah. Right before the toss, she was vomiting on the ground during warm-ups. Oh. She missed the toss because she was sick. She was the field for about half of Australia's fielding innings because she was too unwell to be on the ground. She was in the dressing room napping. She couldn't go out to bat to chase. They're only chasing 103. She wasn't allowed to go out to bat because she spent so much time off the field.
Oh.
Australia, despite only chasing 100, ended up 3 for 9.
Oh, dear.
At which point, Elisa Healy went into the dressing room, woke Meg up and said, "Meg, we need you." At 4 for 53, Meg went out to the middle and she hit 30 not out off 19 balls.
Oh, my God.
Sick as a dog. just to get that thing done, five boundaries, got it done, marched straight off, went back home and locked herself in a hotel room for 2 days to recover.
That is alpha energy. Like, I'll do it. Leave it to me.
Why can't any of you get this done? Yeah. I'm just going to do this and I'm going home.
Oh, my God. Were you there?
I was. Oh. And that was a strange night. It wasn't a broadcast game. So yep. It was myself and our cameraman Scott trying to get some vision of this match to send home. And we looked down and there's Meg doubled over on the ground before the game.
Oh, my God. That is classic Meg.
Yeah, that was, I think that just summed up her competitive spirit
yeah. And
her determination to just get things done.
What else you got?
I think those are my favourites. The innings against Sri Lanka at the Wacker too, I think, with her and Rach Haynes with the World Cup campaign kind of on the line too, was just a really special moment.
Yeah. That's,
what are yours?
Well, that's what Meg said today. She really prides herself on being able to step up and perform when the team needs her most and when the team is under pressure. I mean, that game against Sri Lanka at the Wacker, what were we, like 3 for 8 or something?
So it was, very similar vibes to that.
Yeah.
That, other example I gave, it was Australia's World Cup was
on the line, nearly down the drain.
She went out. It was probably over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big fist pump in the end when she hit the winning runs. Yeah. I'll never forget that. Similar one for me. I remember sitting exactly in this studio when Meg stormed the fortress at Chelmsford. I mean, I think it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning at the end of a long Ashes spent covering it from here in the office. But that was just so good. I loved watching that. And I remember I went home and I just watched the highlights so many times. I just couldn't get enough of it. I just used to, I love watching Meg bat, like both of us do, like everyone does. I just love watching her stride out to the crease with such authority, and she just gets this look in her eye like, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to do it. And it's so good when she does it. I love watching her captain. I used to love when we used to, like, film the team huddles. I loved listening to Meg in the huddle. Like, you just run through a brick wall for her. She's so good. I think, probably the favourite thing that I got to witness with Meg was lifting the trophy at the MCG in front of 86,000 people. I mean, that was probably a night that Meg never thought would happen. None of us thought would happen. And to see her just soaking it up. I remember like watching when Katy Perry came on stage and seeing Meg give her that big hug. That was just like, that was just priceless. So there's a lot of memories.
And I did really enjoy seeing Meg embrace her lighter side a bit too.
Later totally.
In her career after she was, very serious, game pace for most of her career. But the last few years, just opening up and showing a bit more of her sense of humour, which is definitely there. She's just
definitely
a private
there.
Person. And things like dropping grouse at the press conference after
so
they
good.
Won the World Cup in New Zealand.
Yeah. I think all the fans love to see the little glimpses of the real Meg. So, yeah, unbelievable career. She'll definitely be missed. But I guess it leaves the Australian team in a little bit of a conundrum. I mean, we've seen Elisa Healy take the reins as captain in Meg's absence. What do you think, LJ? Do you think Elisa Healy will assume that position permanently, or could they go for another option, someone maybe a bit younger?
Yeah, it's a really interesting call they have to make. Mm. The other aspect too is that Elisa Healy is recovering from her dog bite.
The dog
and
bite.
We're not even 100% sure she'll be fit for the start of the India tour.
Yeah.
We hope she will be. But, yeah, it's a big call to make because Elisa Healy, we don't know how much longer she'll go on.
Yeah.
She's 32.
Yeah.
Might only be another couple of years. Do you put her in the role and then appoint a younger vice to give them a bit more experience? Or do you just go make a longer-term call now and pick someone like Talia McGrath, who's been the vice-captain under Healy in recent times, leave Healy as vice and look longer-term? It's a huge decision.
See T-Mac flourish. I mean, another name that often gets thrown into the ring is Ashley Gardner. Obviously got all the skills on the field. She's in the form of her life. And I feel like that's an aspect of her game that's really developed over the last couple of years. You can tell she's really matured. When she speaks with authority. She's actually, like, I was at a game in Brisbane when they were playing against the West Indies, and it was Ash who gave the huddle speech, and the team were hanging off her every word. So maybe Ash Gardner's a smoky that can come into the mix.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's one of those ones where there's not really been a strict succession plan in place that sometimes you see in other teams, where Meg's always had a vice that's been older than her and more experienced. Yeah. that's not to say Cricket Australia haven't been trying to nurture the next generation of leaders. Ash and Talia were both being part of Belinda Clark's leadership mentoring programs. There has been a real concerted effort made to make sure that there are a lot of options for post-Meg. It's just going to be really interesting to see what direction they go in.
Yeah, they'll want to make the right choice, and there's a lot of good options out there. That's probably enough from us about Meg. Stay tuned. The Scoop has got some plans to celebrate Meg's career in cricket in more depth. But for now, the WBBL season it rolls on, and joining LJ and I on the show today is Tammy Beaumont and Georgia Presswich, Renegades duo. They're in great form. It was great to chat to those girls, hear a little bit about Tammy's perspective coming over from England, and get to know Georgia a little bit better. But LJ, it was another exciting week of WBBL over in Perth and in Ringwood as well, and probably some other cities.
It's everywhere.
WBBL is everywhere. Did you have a favourite performance over the week that you enjoyed watching?
I mean, first of all, can you believe we're halfway through the regular season already?
Nah.
That's outrageous.
Nah.
Unbelievable. My favourite performance of the week, or performances, is just the form Katie Mack is in right now.
Yeah.
She's like gone away. She had that hand injury at the end of last summer. She's gone away. She had a massive pre-season. She's added power to her game. And she's just absolutely thriving at the top of the order for the Adelaide Strikers right now. It's really exciting to see.
My favourite performance, I was lucky enough to be at the Wacker, which was a great weekend, I might add. Credit to the Wacker. They did an outstanding job of
hosting.
Huge
crowds,
yeah, really big crowds. It was Woolworths Cricket Blast round, so a lot of kids around, and they loved getting up close and personal to their favourite players. But yeah, I got to see the Elise Perry show in full flight, which was a lot of fun. So Elise, it was Pez's first time
bowling in a game since the Ashes?
Yeah, first time bowling in a game since the Ashes. So we'd all been waiting to see it. And then I saw her marking out her run out of the Wacker. I was like, here we go, this is going to be good. But I didn't think it was going to be that good. So Pez finished with figures of 5 for 22. Best ever WBBL figures, and then followed it up with 44 not out off 39 balls to get it done against the Renegades. So it was like a classic Pez performance. She was looking so good with the ball, bowling really quick. Batters couldn't play her, and it was like the Elise Perry of old, and it was great to watch it. And probably the best bit about it was Pez in the post-match interview when she got asked, oh, what do you put that down to? And Pez reckons it's beginner's luck.
Elise Perry, Australia's most capped international cricketer.
Beginner's luck. I mean, only Elise Perry can get away with saying that. She is she's one of a kind. So, yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable watching her lead the Sixers to a win. And now the Sixers have two wins on the trot. So maybe they're on the up.
Yep, I think they're going up the water spout.
That's another Pez saying.
Is what I think Erin Burns.
Oh, Burnsy, yeah.
Apparently gave the team a bit of a speech, and she's obviously got her little boy Jack, and is reading a lot of nursery rhymes at the moment.
Classic.
She told them all they're going to go up the water spout into the finals. So.
All right, watch out. Yeah, never ride off the Sixers. The prize packet, what do you reckon?
Been a few. Yeah. I'm going to say I really enjoyed my trip out to Ringwood yesterday.
That is surprising.
It was a surprising venue to see when the schedule came out. It's not somewhere that's hosted a WBBL game before, so that was a new one, and didn't really know what to expect from Jubilee Park. But they had a really good crowd in there, well over 1,000 people, which for, you know, a 3 p.m. game on a Wednesday is great. There was some really cool vibes happening.
Excellent.
Lots of music. Ice cream trucks, a bit going on.
What more can you need?
And then, pretty strange finish too with that lightning delay.
Yeah.
The Stars one run ahead of the par score. The Sixers then helped remove the covers with about 5 minutes before the cutoff for the game being called off.
Good on them.
They ran out there. They got the covers off.
Wow.
They knew they had to get back out there to get the win, and
classic.
They did it.
They did it. Yeah. Chloe Tryon, ice in her veins. That was good to watch.
What was your surprise packet of the week?
Sticking with the Sixers theme, Maitland Brown joining Elise Perry at the top of their batting order was another thing. There's been many things that I haven't had on my bingo card, but that's another one I didn't have on my bingo card. I'm not really sure of the reasoning. You chatted to Mado yesterday, LJ. What did she have to say about it?
Yeah, she said they were just trying to do something a bit different. Things
Fair
obviously
enough.
Weren't working. They'd had, you know, they had a pretty good combination that they wanted to run with Alisa Healy and Susie Bates. Healy gets ruled out. Suddenly you've got Elise Perry and Susie Bates opening the batting, and Bates is battling for form at the moment. So Mado said they just wanted to mix it up, move Bates down the order to give her a bit of a different role, let her find her way back into form. And then Mato, who has been killing it as a bit of a power hitter down the
order. She has, yeah.
Coming into open, she described herself as the Wish version of Elise Healy at the top of the order. But pretty much said she's been given a bit of a license to come out and attack the way Midge would.
Yeah, cool. Happy days. There were also some good wins, a couple of big wins, a couple of high scoring contests. Did you have a favourite?
Yeah, I really enjoyed, and I was off, but yeah. I don't do much with my time off. I was watching the WBBL.
And I was also off, but I was also watching it.
I really enjoyed watching it.
We're sad.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed sitting back and watching the Thunder play the Heat at North Sydney Oval on Monday night.
Yeah,
it was making their highest ever score. Cracking match.
Heat nearly chased it down. Yeah.
Bormian, yeah, the Heat. JJ at the end there.
Yeah.
Really great match. Really good win for the Thunder too, knocking off a title favourite in the Heat.
Yeah, very good. Millie Kerr's come back with a bang. She's in great form.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome seeing her back in the comp.
Yeah.
Do you have a win of the week that you particularly enjoyed?
Strikers getting it done over the Scorchers. That was a nail biter.
Yeah, it was.
So Chloe Ainsworth gets thrown the ball by Sophie Devine with the Strikers needing 12 off the final over. Pretty tough task for the 18-year-old. And Danny Gibson was at the crease and she got it done very quickly. 3 boundaries in the over. That was a good win for the Strikers. So, yeah, the race to the finals is becoming very interesting. A lot of the teams seem like they're finding form at the right time. I mean, the Scorchers also looked really good. I mean, having Nat Siverbrunt come into their team just adds an extra element of
cheeky half century first up.
Yeah, she looks good as gold. So there's a lot of teams looking in really good nick, and yeah, I think it's going to be a really exciting race to the finals.
Yeah, I feel like every time one of these, the Thunder, the Strikers, Scorchers, Heat win a game, they end up on top of the ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've still got the Hurricanes and the Sixers breathing right down their necks as well. It's going to be a really interesting last couple of weeks to see who can make that top four.
Very, very exciting.
Some very unlucky teams that end up missing out.
Yeah, exactly. It will be. Thank you to the listeners of The Scoop for listening to LJ and my reflections on the career of Meg Lanning. Rest assured, there'll be more to come. And hope you enjoy the weekend of WBBL action. It's only getting better. Thanks for listening. Tammy Beaumont, Georgia Presswich, thank you ladies so much for joining us here at Junction Oval on the Scoop podcast. Firstly, 2 weeks in with the Renegades, give us a little bit of a rundown on how it's been so far.
Yeah, it's been good. I think we're really connected as a group, having a lot of fun, running fun from Helmers. Not actually that much fun in the old fielding sessions, but no, I think we've got a really good group of people, and particularly coming back in after kind of four years, the character of the team is still the same, even though a lot of people have changed, which kind of is really nice to be back, and it kind of feels like coming home for me. But results kind of maybe haven't gone the way we would have liked. We've been really close in a couple of games against the Heat and obviously the Sixers the other day, but it's one of those where we don't need to rewrite anything. I think we're not far away. There's some really key things we can work on, and you know, the good thing for us, I think, is kind of probably, well, none of our overseas players who are batters have got 50 yet. So I think, you know, when we finally fire in a game, everybody else is already, you know, pulling their weight for us at the minute.
Yeah, I think 1 from 4, you'd expect the group to be a little bit disheartened and down. But like Tam said, we've just been so close, and there's still so much belief that we haven't even scratched, not even the surface, I'd say even 50% of what we're capable of. So, like, we're all really upbeat still and just, yeah, hoping that we can just get one, will just kickstart the back end.
And I guess it, like, you guys kind of come together really quickly, and there's not a very long lead in. So I guess it must be nice to know there's still a long way to go in the season.
Yeah. I mentioned before, like, the Renegades is one of, like, the only teams that aren't the full domestic squad. Like, you see the Heat have, like, Queensland.
Yeah.
Adelaide have SA. Renegades is such a throw-together team, like, with people from out of state, the internationals. Obviously, Tam's been here before, but so the first couple of weeks is just so exciting. Like, it's like the first couple of weeks of school, like, getting to know all your friends and stuff. So, like, there's always just a vibe. Even people from the outside say, like, the Renegades' energy and aura is just, like, really cool, and it's definitely like that from the inside, which is really fun.
Yeah. That. And you've
Tammy, you've been back in Melbourne for a few weeks. What have you been getting up to outside of cricket stuff?
Oh, just enjoying the fact that I can just get a nice coffee absolutely everywhere, whereas in England you have to make sure you do your research, you find out which ones actually do proper barista coffee and avoid the chains. Lots of coffee.
Do you have a favourite coffee shop?
No, not yet. I'm actually, we're not far off Chapel Street, so I'm basically trying to rate all of them. Maybe I need to write a blog on it or something. For my English taste. So, I'm basically trying to complete the set. Just trying to get around the girls as much as possible. Some of them played club cricket the other day. I went down to watch. And,
oh, nice.
A few little meals together and lots of watching cricket because I'm absolute cricket nuffy. So there's been a WBBL game on, I've been watching it.
So you must have been watching a lot of cricket.
Oh, yeah.
Started as a striker, came Renegade. Then there was a stint at the Thunder and back at Renegades. What keeps bringing you back to the WBBL?
Yeah, I keep joking I'm trying to complete the set, but obviously coming back to Renegades kind of stopped me getting another colour, but no, really happy to be back. I think I really enjoyed my time in 2019 here. I think what the group's about, the way they show a lot of grit, almost the more difficult the game becomes, the harder everyone tries. And that's something that kind of speaks to me. I've always joked that I'm a bit of a Jack Russell, kind of biting at your ankles, desperate to get in the scrap kind of competitor. Yeah. And I think that ethos like shines through at the Renegades, like absolutely. Certainly been a lot of fun already.
Have you seen the WBBL change? Like, do you remember your first game of WBBL and have you seen it grow in the time that you've been coming over?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I think it was WBBL 02 and it was, we were on North Sydney Oval second ground. and I'm pretty sure there was like a dog interrupted play because of the
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
But I think, you know, I think the standard's just grown a lot. You see the likes of, you know, the under-19 players like Ella Hayward, I think, is one of our standout bowlers. And, you know, she was at the under-19 World Cup last year. Same with, like, the likes of Millie Illingworth and Ainsworth over at Perth. I think they come in and have an immediate impact. Whereas I think before, teams, you know, early on were probably carrying a few players that were sort of, you know, batting at eight, not bowling, maybe just fielding because they're decent in the field. Whereas now, actually, there's so much depth. You can have a couple of injuries in a team and teams still manage to win. You know, I think without Alyssa Healy, the Sixers still look incredibly strong.
Yeah.
And also, I think you see that probably overseas players are also playing bigger roles than potentially they have done. I think Australian internationals used to have quite a lot of say in how the games go, but now actually your domestic players can win your game off their own bat or ball, either way as well.
And of the cities you've played for, do you have a favourite city in Australia?
So I'm weird, right? I say this and then everyone says what? Oh. But I really like Adelaide.
Oh, okay,
we actually quite like Adelaide too.
There's nothing to dislike about it. Well, but favourite is quite a big call.
Well, I haven't spent enough time in Perth, so I just have to reel that out. All Brisbane's probably the same, and every time I've been there, particularly the 2017 Ashes, it rained for 2 weeks.
In Brizzy?
Ruined that. For me, I'm not a big city person. Like, I don't like traffic.
Yeah.
I like to be in the countryside. I like to walk where you can just see nature and kind of be well away from traffic noise and stuff like that. So, Adelaide was kind of 20 minutes to the beach, then you're in the city, then you can get to, you know, wildlife reserves and stuff. So kind of suited my likes a bit more.
Have you travelled around Australia much, and are there sort of other bits outside of the cities that you've really enjoyed visiting?
Yeah, the best thing I've done was I had about 10 days between the Ashes in 2017 and then the Big Bash. And myself and Alex Hartley, who's just retired from England, we got a camper van down the Great Ocean Road.
Nice.
Oh,
yeah, and we planned to do it in 5 days, but we were having so much fun, we extended it. And
so good.
We're like caving in South Australia.
And oh, nice. Wow.
So, yeah, that's probably the best thing I've done in Australia, but would absolutely love to explore a bit more.
Nice. And Georgia, you're a native Queenslander.
Yes,
You've made the full move down here to Victoria with the Renegades as well. How's it been and how do you feel like you're settling in?
So far, so good. Yep. I actually feel like I've just been here forever.
Okay.
Yeah, playing for Queensland kind of just seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But no, the group, the Victorian group is unbelievable and the Renegades girls are just a breath of fresh air. So, yeah, I'm really happy and my brother Jack lives here as well. So I've moved away from family to still be with family. We're living together, which has been really interesting.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, learning lots about each other. But no, it's been really good so far.
What was it that made you come down here to Victoria?
Probably just it came down to opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably was in the Queensland program for about 9 years, so I just kind of felt like I had done as much as I could there, like in that program. And it was nice to come down here and kind of join a new program, new coaching, just a new way of playing the game, and also to like train alongside Pez and Meg and stuff, like just to see how they go about their business has been really eye-opening. And it's no secret that Victoria have, you know, X amount of Australian players and under 19 World Cup players, so I just wanted to see what all the fuss was about. but so far I'm just loving it.
What's all the fuss about? They're good to train alongside?
Yeah, they just train like bloody workhorses.
I saw Meg out there cutting laps before.
Zooming.
Of course she was.
You know, they train hard, but they just have the mental aspect of their game is just so switched on, like so sharp. So that's been really cool to get some glimpses.
And you come from a pretty big cricketing family with your dad and your brothers.
Yeah.
What were the backyard cricket battles like growing up?
Yeah, there were a few. Jack and Will, my two brothers, they were like backyard fanatics, and Dad would often play with them until he wasn't the best, and then Dad kind of just like threw in the towel and didn't play. But I kind of got roped in. I didn't play a lot of cricket when I was younger, and Jack and Will loved batting, and so they made me bowl to them. I never got to bat in backyard cricket.
Brutal.
But I think that's why I became like a bowler, because like that's all I knew how to do. Plenty of broken windows. Our neighbours, like the boys would smash balls into their yard and they just got so sick of throwing them back that they just like refused to let us on their property to get any balls. Like, yeah, it was good fun, good memories.
So your dad's obviously the bowling coach for the Aussie team. Do you talk to him much about bowling?
Yeah, I do all the time. I probably call him every day actually.
Okay.
I think he knows so much about pace bowling. He also knows so much about the game, but I think the way he communicates that with me, like obviously he's my dad as well, so I'm able to take on, you know, harsh feedback. He puts it in a way that I'm gonna, you know, be able to receive that. So yeah, it's been good, but there's plenty of I'll give Jack a call or give Will a call. Simon Mack and our bowling coach, he's always there, so there's a lot of people we can lean on.
Do you reckon your dad would like talk to you differently to how he would talk to another one of these subjects?
A couple of the girls have said this, and I actually reckon he'd talk to the Aussie pace bowlers similar. Like, he's just such a father figure.
Yeah.
And he's
a very chill guy.
Yeah, he's pretty chill, but he's also the scariest person I've ever met. Like, once you're on his, like, you know, if you do something wrong, like, God forbid.
Really?
Right. Yeah,
he
can be really scary. But, like, I think he would, he'd be, like, that father figure. And, like, if you're having a bad day with a ball, like, he just finds a way to still, you know, find the positives and get your mind ready for the next game.
Obviously, here at Junction Oval, you guys share the facilities with the Melbourne Stars. So I just wanted to know, like, how does that impact the rivalry? Is it a friendly rivalry? Like, do you back the Stars in or
just blank each other?
Yeah, blank each other in the hallways, training. What's the go?
I don't know, really. I think I haven't really bought into that rivalry.
I think
probably because we're not playing them for quite a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, at the minute, we're like passing ships. Like,
true.
We're either away, they're here. But actually, I've got three English players in that team. So, yeah, absolutely catching up with them and checking in on them, seeing how they are. And, a bit of crossover in that regard. Because I think you're always going to kind of connect with your you know, country people. So far, no big rivalry, but
I'd say like the Stars and the Renegades. Mm. Because a lot of them are the Victorian team, like we all get along really well.
Yeah.
And we're all pretty cruisy characters off the field. So around Junction, I'd say like we're all pretty friendly. But yeah. As soon as like the game comes, like I probably won't be talking to many of them the day of the game or like saying hello to them before the game. Like once, I feel like once it's game time, it's game time.
Fair's fair when it's game. Yeah. Game on, then it's absolutely no holes barred and absolutely want to be the best team in Melbourne. Yeah. So I hope Meg Lanning doesn't hear that because she'll probably be motivated. She seems to get motivated by those kind of things. Meg, you're great. I love you.
Are you looking forward to playing against, you know, Capsie and Maya and Sophia?
Yeah, I am, definitely. I think they're some great young players and they've been playing so well for a long period of time now. So it's good to see them out here getting, you know, a couple of them, it's their first or second time in the WBBL. So it's great to see them. But yeah, I think you always want to kind of go one over on your, your English counterparts.
Yeah. And have you, either of you, played on the MCG before?
I haven't.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I think it was WBBL 02 or 03.
Okay.
We played against the Melbourne Stars, Adelaide Strikers versus Melbourne Stars.
Okay. How was it?
It wasn't a good game.
Rewrite history.
Yeah. How? I can't really remember, but we didn't do well.
Is that something you're looking forward to, coming up against the Stars on the G?
Yeah, definitely. I think just the history that the MCG has just brings so much nerves and excitement. We've been training there quite a bit.
Okay.
And even just to like walk through like underneath and around, like you see like the honour boards and the hundreds and the 50s, and you just want to be up on, like you just want to be a part of history. Like, and to win there, to play there is just going to be incredible. But hopefully to win will be even better. I think that's towards the back end of our
last group game.
Yeah, the last.
Last group game, yeah. So I hope it's kind of like
decider.
Yeah.
Oh no. Finals. Then everyone in Melbourne comes out to support. So there's thousands there.
Then
it'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we win.
And then the Renegades scrape into the finals.
Presto gets like 4-fer, I get 70. It's like perfect.
Oh, let's go. Dream.
Manifest that.
You heard it here first.
So you've got Hayley Matthews as captain this season. How's she been?
She's been great. Hales is just a real calm character. Obviously, she's coming off a really good series for herself at the West Indies against Australia. I just think she's bringing a real calm and quite clear vibe. I think the way she's been bowling in particular, taking those incredibly difficult overs, either, you know, in the power play, in the power surge, and then at the death, and just really leading from the front. I think she's got a wicket every power surge over so far.
Yep.
And pretty much at the top of the wicket takers, which is great for us. And I think she's a real key player for us. And I think the way that she's kind of using everyone within the team that's also a leader, you know, obviously Harmanpreet Kaur, captain of India, Jess Duffin has played an awful lot of cricket and is back, which is great to have her back. And obviously Sophie Molyneux isn't playing, but has got a great cricket brain and is involved with the coaching staff. So the way she's managing to, you know, keep all those leaders and use their brains and use their kind of ideas, but also lead in her own way is really good.
Did you guys watch her when she was destroying the Aussies at North Sydney Oval?
Unbelievable. But yeah, it was pretty special. I think, it's a big role to take too. Like being the international player obviously brings a certain level of pressure, and then to captain and then to have Sophie still, you know, be in and around, like it's a pretty enormous job to take on. But she's just so, I'm not sure if you've met her, but blasé, but switched on at the same time. Like she just manages to navigate everything and also has a knack of bringing the group together. Like when she spoke to us after, what game was that?
Thunder.
No, when she spoke to us at Junction, must have been after the Heat game maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, spoke to us and like I had chills like all down my arms. Like it was just so like inspiring and empowering, and like she truly does like believe in the group and in the individual, and obviously takes the time to go to all the bowlers and work through your bowling plans and even the spinners. So we're so lucky.
Yeah, she's got a real good cricket brain. So roles reversed at Welsh Fire. I was captain, and Hales was part of the team. But the number of times she'd just come up to me and be like, "Have you thought about this? Or what about this person from this end?" Or even things like about selection maybe hadn't thought about, and it just highlighted to me what a great cricket brain she's got, and it's great to be led by her this time around.
Very good. Has that been handy for you too, like knowing that you two just played together in the 100 and then coming here and opening the batting for the Gates?
Yeah, we keep talking about our opening partnerships. Like, basically in the 100, I think we pretty much got a 50 partnership or a zero partnership. And if I got naught, she got naught.
Oh.
And then if I got off the mark, we normally did all right and got like a really so quick 50 partnership. Like, we both love batting together.
Yeah.
So much so that we keep following each other off the pitch. It's literally like, it is, it's literally... It's literally like if I get out, she follows by the end of the over, and if she gets out,
without you.
Yeah, we just don't want to be apart, obviously.
When did you realise? Like, when did it become a thing?
Well, it definitely was a joke before our eliminator in the 100.
Okay.
That it was, Hale said to me, she's like, can you make sure you get off the mark today so that I can get off the mark today? So I was like, okay. So it's been a thing for a while, but I would love to go back and see, like, what the like averages of our opening partnership, because okay, actually like no, because I actually think we've done pretty well. I think because we're, you know, very different heights, hit very different areas, attack different bowlers, like it does seem to really work quite well, and I absolutely love opening the batting with her, because you know, one day it might be her day and she's absolutely flying, so I'll just, no pressure on me, get her on strike, and another day maybe I get off to a half decent start and there's no pressure on her, and maybe by the end of this tournament we'll learn to not get out in the same over, and maybe one of us go on after we get out.
It'll be fun to watch. What's she like in the middle? Does she chat a bit, or pretty quiet operator?
I think she talks like just enough. I'm probably the overly communicative one, particularly if I'm nervous.
Really?
You don't know that. But no, I think it works well, and she, you know, she talks about what needs to be spoken about, but very relaxed, and certainly just enjoyable time to bat with her.
And so Ash's rivalry is pretty alive and well in both countries at the moment. Does that sort of like all go out the window when you come over here to Australia, or is there still a bit of chat amongst the Aussies as well?
I feel like at the moment there's not too much, say, particular like Ashes chat, just because like it's quite a way off again. Like we've obviously just had the Ashes.
Just leave that to the boys.
Yeah, we just sort of like, you know, we've left that where we've left that. The result was the result. But I think everyone in an international level, like, yes, I'm here to win games for the Renegades, play well in the WBBL, but at the same time, we know there's a World T20 coming up, and I think you can see, like, you know, I'm starting to think, all right, well, if I come up against Australia, like, what do their bowlers do? How can I maybe attack them? Or what do they do under pressure? What's this, that, and the other? And I think it's the same with, you know, Australian players. I think you're constantly looking at your international counterparts. It might be Ashes rivalry. I think you look at every international player in the WBBL and start to think, all right, next time we face them, you know, what's my go-to, what's going to happen? Because I think that's, the smart play, and kind of what has accelerated women's cricket has been kind of playing in franchise leagues and learning from other people, or learning through watching other people. And it's good for the game, but it just means there's absolute fierce competition every time you play now.
Yeah. Did you watch a lot of the women's Ashes over the winter?
It was great. There was a lot of cricket on, like the Aussie girls were over there as well. So never short of cricket during the week. It was really good to watch.
Did you stay up during the night?
Yeah, sometimes I did. Or like a lot of the channels do like the recaps as well, or it's on AMS, and I'll just go and a bit snuffy as well, but I'll just like go on AMS.
Watch a bit of Tammy's Double 100, surely.
Well, I'm watching paint dry that.
But no, it's good,
I think Australians and English have a lot in common, but what separates Aussie and English cricketers? Do you have anything different about the way you go about your games?
Oh, there is one thing that's maybe not how you go about a game. What you call extra cover. I think this is actually a regional thing as well. So I swear last year at Thunder, people would say go to the cover, and they mean like the higher one, closer to the bowler. And then you have like extra cover who can be in or on the boundary. Or in England, it's like extra cover and then the squarer one's cover.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think I found in Melbourne that it's okay, but in like New South Wales, I was standing in the wrong position half the time.
Any other sort of culture differences, like the way that people sort of go about things, or like, other bits of slang?
Oh, I have been learning a little bit of English slang. Gaff.
Gaff.
Is for like come over to my gaff, like my house.
Never heard that.
Yeah. Okay.
What else would you say? That's all I really know.
Oh, I don't know. Too easy is like the most Aussie saying.
Too easy. Oh,
too easy.
That's all Sarah Glenn. TikTok.
Yeah. It's
Sarah Glenn.
Too easy.
That's you wouldn't, very
you wouldn't say it?
No.
No.
I do now. I am weird in that, like, my accent will merge to wherever I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my parents were from the north of England, and but I was grew up in the south, and there's two very different accents.
Okay.
I'd go to school, and he'd be like, yeah, all right, innie, I'm down in Kent. And then, like, up north, whenever I saw my family, it'd be like, hey, up, dog, let's go to the pub. So I just...
Good accents.
Yeah, I would just, like, literally...
Chameleon.
Between the two. And I've never had anything to do with Birmingham, but if I go to Birmingham today, I'm like, I'm in Birmingham. Like, honestly, so I'll be here for 2 months, and I'll go home, and everyone's like, are you Australian?
Really?
Yeah.
Good day, mate.
Exactly, yeah.
Too easy.
Too easy.
Too easy, mate. One thing I know, everyone in England seemed to wear bucket hats, and that hasn't really caught on in Australia, I don't think. What's with the bucket hats?
Oh, look, I keep trying to make bucket hats work for me, but they just don't. But I keep trying.
Okay.
Is that in 100?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, so we have 100 ones. We got an England one.
They kept being worn during press conferences and stuff during the Ashes too.
Yeah. I wore it all day, day five. We actually got in trouble because there was a charity day that had one day of our test match was Ruth for Red Day. Mm. It's a bit like the Glenn McGrath Foundation, but Andrew Strauss's wife, unfortunately. So, yeah, they were giving out red bucket hats, and we got in trouble because we were wearing them, like, on the balcony when it's not, like, England kit.
Oh. Very strict.
But it was for charity.
For charity.
But, yeah, then we had our England bucket hats. Yeah, bucket hats have just taken England by storm, but it's not actually sunny enough to really need
I'd say visors are probably more Australian. Yeah. We haven't actually got a Renegades visor, which I will be following up later this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think...
They're a strong look.
The high pony girls love to get the ponytail out. We find Sophie Day loves it. There was quite the debate back when I was playing for Queensland, casual v Oakley sunnies. Like a lot of the Queensland girls play in like the
Grace.
Casual. Yeah, yeah. Like Grace, Michaela Hinkley, like they all just play in like the, like, you know, just like what's
just regular.
The beach.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't cop it. Like I needed the polarised like sport ones.
And it seems like they'd get a bit too sweaty and like fall off.
Well, I guess...
I don't know. Some people like, you know, you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you play good.
Yeah.
Maybe it works for Grace.
I don't know. I'm in fine form, so must be.
I can barely keep my eyes open in the sun anyway, so the darker the lens, the better.
And so we've been finishing the podcast the last couple of times. I feel like when you get asked someone to tell us, like, what your strengths are and, like, what you bring into a team, no one's going to say it about themselves, so we're going to get you to say it about the other. So let's start with you, Tammy. What does Georgia bring to the Renegades team, and what are her strengths?
I think Georgia brings people together.
Okay.
I think she's the lifeblood of the team. I think, the way she connects people, particularly, like, myself, I think, she's reached out a few times and checked in with me and checked that I'm okay, which I think is like a super strength of reading a room. I think she's a natural athlete, like the way she is in the field, and her ball striking with the bat is pretty exciting to watch coming in at night. So, is that enough?
Nice. Good wrap.
Keep going.
Nice.
I'll pay you later. Tam, I'd say, so hard to bowl to, like as a bowler. She hits in very different parts of the ground to most batters, so just having her at the top is so destructive, especially her and Hayley opening. Like, I think you just complement each other so well. But off the field, I'd just say, like, she's an absolute pocket rocket. She's never not smiling or laughing. She kind of just fits into – well, I know she's already played here, but she kind of just fits into the Renegades mould so perfectly, what we're about. All our morals, all our values, so we love having you.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining us on the Scoop podcast this afternoon. Good luck to the Renegades. Can't wait to watch you over in Perth and hope it all goes well.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks
for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. We spent 2 weeks in.
He leads away. Australia away. Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.